Who is it?
It's me, Zadie, Akiva. I'm here with my friend Yehuda.
Come in, come in. Oy, such terrible weather today. You must be soaking wet. Come in, you'll get nice and dry. That's better. Now, take your shoes off and go sit down in the living room. I'm going to get you some milk and cookies.
See? I told you he would give us milk and cookies. You should have told me about your Zadie 2 weeks ago. I just love milk and cookies. Shh, your Zadie's coming.
Here you are, boys. Fresh cookies baked by Bubby just this morning. Go ahead and take. But don't forget to say your broches.
Don't worry, Zadie. We won't.
Thank you, Mr. Friedman.
So, what brings you here today, Akiva? I hardly ever get to see you in the summertime. You're always too busy to come and visit your Zadie.
Zadie, could you tell us a story? I told Yehuda what a great storyteller you are. Please?
Of course, Akiva. I'll get my storybook down from this shelf. But which story do you want to hear? Yitzhak the Magician? Or, The Secret Cave of Yerushalayim? Or maybe your favorite, the...
No, Zadie. I want to hear something you've never told me before. I want to hear a new story.
You want to hear a new story? Yes, I have a new story for you. But it's really an old story. A very old story. More than 300 years old. Would you like to hear it?
Yes, please.
Okay, boys. Come a little closer and I'll tell you the incredible story of the Golden Crown.
The Golden Crown?
Yes. The amazing story of the Golden Crown, which begins on a cold, dark night in the little village of Kerevan, in the great kingdom of Voldania. For we find the great Tzaddik and Talmid Chochem, Reb Aral Kalischer, bending over his Gemara, learning by the light of a small flickering candle. When all of a sudden, there's an urgent knock on his door.
Rebbe, please, open the door. It's urgent. Rebbe, please, open the door.
Reb Yitzchok, my dear Shamis, what brings you here so late at night? Come in from the cold. I'll get you a warm glass of tea.
Rebbe, there's no time. I must tell you.
Yitzchok, I insist that you come in first. You're shivering and your face is blue. If you don't come in right away, you'll get frostbite, chas v'sholoim.
All right, Rebbe. It's so cold and windy outside tonight. But just for a minute. We must hurry.
Yes, Rebbe Yitzchok. But only after you sit here by the fire and warm your frozen bones. That's better. Now you can tell me what the emergency is. But start from the beginning and don't leave anything out.
Of course, Rebbe. I'll tell you everything from the beginning. For some reason, I couldn't fall asleep tonight. So I decided to go to shul to say something to Hillen. Then I noticed the door to the shul was wide open.
Someone broke into the shul?
Yes, Rebbe.
But how could that be? Duke Alexander, who owns this village and all the surrounding lands, has always been kind to the Jews. And he has been paying one of his soldiers to guard the shul every night, ever since that break-in last year.
The first thing I did, Rebbe, was to go to the soldier's house. He told me he was ordered not to stand guard tonight.
The Duke ordered him to stay home? How could he?
No, Rebbe. The soldier told me the Duke has gone on a hunting expedition, and he left his brother, Count Nicholas, in charge.
Nicholas? That Russia?
The soldier told me it was Nicholas who ordered him not to stand guard tonight.
Rachmono Litzlan! What damage was done, Yitzchok? Did those vandals smear paint all over the shul like last time?
No, Rebbe. Nothing at all was damaged.
I don't understand, Yitzchok. Baruch Hashem, we've been spared. Why did you have to come all the way out here on such a cold and windy night?
Rebbe, at first I didn't realize myself what happened. But then I noticed the door to the Kodesh was slightly open. Rebbe, as if a Torah had been stolen.
A scroll of parchment clean and white. white, with letters black as coal. For centuries has bound us tight, united as one soul. With words that dance before Hashem and leap up from the page, by the voices of our people from this and every age. The troubled years, they come and go, no end is yet in sight. With bitter tears we ask Hashem to save us from the night. But though the Golus does remain, we know we can endure, with Torah to sustain us, so precious and so pure.
Torah back?
Yeah, Mr. Freeman. What happens? And what about the golden crown? When does that come in?
Patience, boys, patience. I promise you I'll tell you the whole story. That is, unless you're in a big rush to go somewhere else today.
No, no. We're not going anywhere. We want to hear the rest.
We'll be patient, Zadie. We promise.
Okay. Now, before I tell you what Rabbi Arele did, let's find out what happened to the Sifrei Torah. You see, Count Nicholas, the Duke's evil brother, had hired a band of thieves to steal the Sifrei Torah. These thieves were led by a giant of a man, the ruthless and powerful Borozov. He was almost 7 feet tall, strong as half a dozen horses, and known throughout the country as the most dangerous man alive. Borozov and his band of thieves went straight from the shul with the Sifrei Torah to secretly meet Nicholas outside the castle walls.
Stop here, men, and remain a safe distance from the castle. We don't want any of the Duke's soldiers aware of our presence. I must now go on alone to meet Count Nicholas by that large rock near the castle walls. Igor, give me the sack filled with those worthless Jewish scrolls. When I return, this sack will be filled with gold. We'll celebrate later at our forest hideout.
Where is that scoundrel Borisov? He should have been here long ago with those scrolls. Ah, I hear footsteps. That must be him now. Borisov, you're late. I am not at all accustomed to being kept waiting. Do you have the scrolls?
What an impatient man you are, my dear Count. Of course I have them. It was like taking sweets from a child. But more important, do you have the gold you promised me?
Well, not exactly.
Why, you miserable, despicable excuse for a Count. I'll break every bone.
Wait, put me down, you beast. Let me explain.
This had better be good, Nicholas, or you can start saying your prayers.
What I have for you, Borisov, is made of gold, yet is far more precious than gold.
Speak not in riddles, Nicholas. I am growing impatient.
What would you say if I offered you in exchange for the scrolls? This!
It's the golden crown. The famous golden crown of our Duke Alexander. But how do you come to possess it? Everyone knows that he never removes the crown from his head.
That is not your concern, Borisov. I have the crown, and I'm willing to give it to you in exchange for the scrolls. Do you want it or not?
Of course I want it. The golden crown is priceless. I'll be rich for the rest of my life. You're a fool for giving it to me, Nicholas. But I'll take it.
Why did the Count give away the golden crown, Zadie? He could have just given Borisov some pieces of gold in exchange for the Sifrei Torah.
And why did Nicholas want the Sifrei Torah in the first place, Mr. Friedman?
Those are very good questions, Kinderlich. I think I'll answer Yehuda's question now, and I'll let the story answer your question, Akivale. Now, do you boys know what a ransom is?
Oh, I know, Mr. Friedman. It's when you steal something and don't give it back until you're paid a lot of money for it.
That's right, Yehuda. That's why the evil Nicholas stole the Sifrei Torah in the first place. In fact, right after Borisov left the palace, the Count sent a messenger with a ransom note to the home of Rabaral Kalisher, where the leaders of the shtetl were meeting to discuss the emergency.
Please, Raboisai, let us not panic. Everyone shall be heard in turn. Now, Mayor, what is it you wanted to say?
In the name of the Count, open up. I carry a message for the Rabbi of the Jews. Which one of you is he?
It is I.
Take this letter. It is for you.
A message from the Count.
Read it. What does it say? Read it.
Read it. Please, read it.
Yes. Let me open it. It says, Jews of Caravan, your beloved scrolls are safe and in my hands. Wait. There's more. If you wish to get them back, a payment of 10,000 guildens must be made to my royal treasury within 3 days. If not, the scrolls will be burned. Rabboinu shel olam, 10,000 guildens? How can we collect that much in only 3 days?
Nicholas the Russia is so heartless and so cold. He only thinks of money. coins of silver and of gold. With treachery and evil, this man only has one wish: to be the greatest king of all, the richest of the rich. I'm an honest, simple tailor who works hard to earn his bread. Do I forfeit my last penny? Let him tax me till I'm dead. And I am but a poor farmer, with a plow I toil all day. The little that I have, do I throw it all away? On his mind, rubies, sapphires, diamonds, any jewel that glows and shines. He already is a wealthy man. What does he need it for? But no, he's still not happy. He wants more and more and more.
I am but the town's millamid, with eight little mouths to feed. Must I put myself in misery to satisfy his greed?
And I, the village blacksmith, who works harder than a slave, how can I pay this ransom? It would drive me to my grave. We all are poor, hard-working people,
yet together we all choose
to give up all our money. We are proud that we are Jews. Let him have our silver,
let him even have our gold,
but not our Sifrei Torah, our Neshamah, our soul. But not our Sifrei Torah, our Neshamah, our soul. But not our Sifrei Torah, our Neshamah, our soul.
How precious are your children, Bnei Yisrael, who would give away their last possessions for the sake of your Torah. Please answer our prayers and deliver us from this evil man.